Thank you very much. That's awesome. Okay, I'm going to do my duty here. I got to borrow this little man with the mustache. The newest member of PCF, little Cooper Alden Halby. I told you he did exist. I know I've been saying it for a long time, but you know he's been in seclusion because of germs or whatever. So we're going to be raising him up in this church, and hopefully someday he'll be up there singing, because you know we're trying to grow the choir. But there's other good news, and that is that Joyce and Rich Koenig actually have the newest little baby that we hopefully someday will be here with us too, and it's little Cora Gladys. Is that Gladys or Gladys? Gladys. Cora Gladys Koenig. And she was just born a couple days ago. So welcome to Cora, and we're so glad we have some visitors with us today. I want to, for those of you that, you know, this is your first time here with Praise Community Fellowship, before I get involved in the talk today, is tell you that we've been praying over the last couple of months that this church is going to grow to 125 people, and the reason is that'll be full, and that our choir is going to be at 20. And there's a reason for the new people here. The reason I want to do that, we're going to be explaining that a lot today, but a church family is very important. And that's really what my message is going to be about today. Matter of fact, the message is so important today, we're going to make a new rule here, which it's always been, but nobody takes advantage of it that often. Is that if I'm saying something you don't understand, just stop me so I can clarify. Because we're real informal here. You know, it's not like, okay, this is what we have to do now. And, you know, you'll notice me, I walk around during while they're singing sometimes, and it gets distractive, I'm sure. But I want people to be relaxed here, because I think that the purpose of a church that is actively seeking to do God's will in people's lives, it will change your life. And that's very important to me. It's way more important than anything we do in this service. The point is bringing people together to understand what God really wants us to do. And I've been reading this Bible for 42 plus years now. And man, I've been all over the map. There's times I said, there's no way, it can't be. There's other times I said, okay, I'm starting to get it. It took a long time. God's been working with me. He'll continue to work with me until the day I die. That's just the way it works. I changed some of the things I believed in since I started reading it, because I keep learning. I keep seeking. And the other thing I want the new people here to understand is I will never stand up here and tell you what to believe. I bring my best, what I think my interpretation of it is, but the best way to understand what God wants you to know is for you to go back, read some of the chapters in the Bible or the things I'm talking about, and let the Holy Spirit talk to you, and He will. He will help clarify what you need to know. So I don't want anybody ever come here and say, oh, you know, Kent's saying this and this is the way it is. No, it's not the way it is. I'm like any of you. I'm learning, I'm seeking, but I do know this. I do know God wants to put together a family of believers, and that's what I want to talk about today. It's very important. Because most of us that have ever been to a church or belong to church, I grew up belonging to churches, is that I think there's been a big problem with churches. And I want to address that today. And I want to start with this. Is we have to know who we are as Christians, number one. What does that really mean? And the other thing that I want to talk about today is that when you sign up to be a Christian, did you have any idea what it was about? And I would say most would say absolutely not. Had no clue what Christianity was. If the church I grew up in, at a certain age, it was junior high school, you went through something called confirmation. You wore these little bed sheet things, and you went to class on Saturdays, and, you know, memorize some Bible verses and books of the Bible, you know, different stuff, whatever the pastor at the time told you. And then it led into your first communion. That was kind of it. You was like, okay, I guess I'm a Christian. But you really, maybe I was just dumb. Well, I can assure you I was. I didn't, it was not a big changing point in my life. I didn't know really what is it about yet. And that's what I want to talk to you about. And it's about something called a testimony. And Christians, if you decide to become part of a Christian family, we need something called a testimony. And a testimony is simply your story, your life, your message of why God is important to you. And the reason that's important is because when you really connect with the Holy Spirit and God, your life is going to change for the better. Doesn't eliminate problems, doesn't eliminate suffering, just like the girls were singing today. But it does give you God's peace and allows you to walk through these valleys and issues that we have to face. The reason we need a testimony is because that is what Jesus needs us to do to get out into the world, to bring people into a Christian family so that we can support one another. That's what it's really all about. And so as I was praying about this, I came up with all kinds of ideas and thoughts, but the first thing I'm going to do is I want to put our scripture up there. Thanks, Lane. This is one little tiny verse out of a great big thick Bible. And I'm going to tell you how, try to explain to you how these things can mean so many different things. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me, this is Jesus speaking, will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. Let me give you a little context of what that was about. They had just had what we called the Last Supper. Jesus had washed his disciples' feet. He's telling his disciples, I must go away. They still didn't even fully understand what that was going to be about. It was going to be about the crucifixion. And he's saying, I'm going to be going away. But then he says these powerful words. Whoever believes in me, whoever, we're all whoever's, by the way, will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. Well, when you read that, if you're reading the Bible, if you don't have a bigger context than what that is, it's easy for that to start knocking your faith down, because you think about Jesus and you thought, well, wait a minute. This guy fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He walked on top of water. He raised people from the dead. He gave sight to the blind. He cured crippled people. And it's saying, whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing, and they will do even greater than these. And you go, yeah, that's not my experience. I've never been to a church where I've seen that happen. It's never happened in my life. I know a lot of other Christians, and I've never seen anything close to it. So you read that and go, yeah, so the Bible probably, I don't think you can really believe in all that stuff. Right? I mean, how many here have walked on water? I mean, when the lake's frozen, or fed 5,000 with a few loaves. Well, let me tell you one way to look at this. Fed 5,000 people, a few loaves of bread and 2 fish. Miracle. I'll tell you another miracle. We support African Vision of Hope. Do you know that they clothe, feed, house, school kids in Zambia for $500 a year, including running the organization? An entire year, $500 for a kid to be taken out of poverty and taken care of. Shriners Hospitals. You know, Jesus healed people. Shriners Hospitals, which Bonnie and I are very involved with. They've taken kids without limbs that are broken, that are cleft lip, and they do amazing things, and they heal these kids without cost to the parents. Those are great things that are happening in this world. So miracles still do happen, but what about you as an individual? You will do greater works than these. I want to tell you about something else that you have to do when you read the Bible. When you take a verse like that, kind of out of context, it can throw you for a loop. So you always have to hunt for other things that it may be talking about. Jesus, in another part of the book of John, says, If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you still don't believe me, believe the works that I'm doing, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. So the question is, why did Jesus do these miracles? Why would he heal people? Why did he raise people from the dead? And the reason was the primary cause of that, it was Jesus' testimony is because he wanted people to become to him, to believe in him, so he could connect people to God the Father. The whole point of works, when we talk about works, is to point people to the Father, and therein lies the biggest problem with the Christian church today. I'll explain. See, what's happened to church today is we come, we listen to songs, we hear a pastor say a little sermon, and then we shake hands and throw a few dollars in the into the offering, and then we leave and we go out those doors into the real world. The real world, where we get back in it, where reality is. There's suffering. I've got tons of stuff to do. I don't have time to deal with this and that and the other thing. This is our religious experience right here. And that's never the way it was meant to be. We need a testimony so we can go into the world. So that testimony means the world will begin changing so more people can experience what I've experienced in my life, and hopefully you have, those of you who have been coming, that Jesus can come into your life, change you, where you can walk in this world with a whole new understanding and a whole new feeling of peace. If we go out those doors and our testimony shows others what being a Christian is. And then we do that through what we say, how we act, what we do, how we carry on life. It's truly about being a person filled so much with the Holy Spirit of love that people notice and say, there's something different about this person. And the problem with religion today is we're not seeing that change out in the world. We all come together, we can lift our hands, we sing our songs, we were nice to one another here. You get out that door and somebody pulls in front of you, and next thing you know, you're giving them the finger. It's a hard life. Christianity, the call for Christianity is to be set apart and be different. Now, we want to grow this family to 125, and the only reason is, has nothing to do with getting famous, anything like that, is because I know that knowing Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit can change your walk. It can change who you are and the way you live this life. It can give you God's peace. It can take you in a path that's different than the path we would normally follow. And I praise God for that in my own life. If I had to continue following many of the paths I would have been on, it would have destroyed me. Absolutely have destroyed me. So I can tell you through experience that when you allow God in your life and Jesus in your life, and you start saying, I'm going to live and I'm going to have a testimony. So the last time we met, we were talking about, are you saved by grace or by works? And we said, oh, it's by grace. We're saved by grace. In other words, the beauty of Christianity is you don't have to do anything and God will accept you. He loves you. He loves every person on this earth. He loves you. And He wants you to have this experience of knowing Him and walking in this love and God's peace and having this inner joy regardless of what's going on in your life. There's people suffering through so many things. Health issues and divorces and breakups and loss of job and on and on and on, and fights within the family and neighbors. That's not the way it should be. And when you become a Christian, does that all stop? No. But it's the way that you handle these things. So what we read last week, we go to the book of James. And it said in James, I'm going to read it here to you, or the last time we met. We said that faith, having faith in God, apart from works, is dead. It means nothing. And I think that's where the bulk of Christianity is today. Yeah, I believe in Jesus, but nothing has changed in your life. Listen, here, let me give you an analogy. I love flowers. I love landscaping. I love making a beautiful yard. I know I could go to anybody's yard, but don't ask me because I'm not interested. And make it beautiful. I am interested. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just, my back hurts a lot. But here's the thing. If you've got a yard and it's just a mess, it's weeds, it's overgrown, it's whatever. That yard can be renovated and beautiful. However, I can pray about it all day long. It's probably not going to do anything. I can really want that to happen. But unless I get a shovel and a wheelbarrow and seeds and mulch and rock and go out and literally start, make a plan and start doing something, it will never happen. For example, this last fall, because I had that big landscape project, I did not plant my tulip bulbs. So this spring, I'm not going to have near the flowers I normally have. Why? I did not do something. So yes, Christianity requires us to do things, but do things differently. It requires a plan. It requires, you know, you look at your life like I picture it as a garden, a beautiful flower garden. If your life is not, if you're not experiencing the joy, the peace, the happiness, the contentment, the fulfillment that God can bring in your life, then you need a plan. And say, what is it in my life that's preventing it? Do I have anger in me? Do I have frustration in me? Do I have people I have not forgiven yet that I need to forgive? That is a plan of action. And you are in control of what you're going to do with that. Because if you begin doing things, like renovating your yard, you will eventually have a flower garden in your life. But it requires more than sitting here. Here's what this is at church. It's a someone like me saying, you can have a beautiful yard. Here's how you do it. That's what church is. But it, when you go out that door, if you don't do anything different, nothing changes. Now the power of God is mighty. And He can come into any life. I don't care if you're hooked on drugs. I don't care if if it's like the bottom has dropped out. I will tell you, because I've walked the walk, God can change your life, but you have to be a willing participant for that to happen. And some people's hearts have become so hardened, and I get that because of what the world's thrown at them, that it's hard for them to even imagine a renovated garden. In Ephesians it says, for we are God's handiwork, all of us, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for all of us to do. We are actually made, and when we become a Christian, it is our duty to become a disciple of Christ. We get our act together, and then we go into the world, and what we want to have happen is people observe us, just observe our life. And we should be set apart. In other words, there should be so much love, kindness, forgiveness, compassion in our life that people say, who is this? And listen, you can bring this into your business. You want to shock the business world? Start doing business through the love of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something. When you see people that love their neighbor as much as they love themselves, that's what we're called to do. And that's not an easy thing to do sometimes. Because sometimes we have some really crappy neighbors. But the story after story in here is, if you want your life renovated, trust Jesus when He says, forgive those who persecute you. Forgive them. Do something amazing for them. Do something that will shock the world, when somebody will come up to you and say, man, what is it with you? How can you be so kind and so gentle and so nice in the circumstance you're in? Because whatever that is, I want that. And that's when this place will be full. Because you'll say, you want to learn that? Come to a family that will love you like you've never been loved before. And yes, bring all your dirty laundry. Bring it all. Because you know what? We all have it. There's no exceptions. We're all broken. We're all messed up. We're all in the same boat. But the thing here is, this sanctuary is, we come here and we practice what the Bible teaches. I recently had a long talk with somebody who I love dearly. And there was a difference of opinion about things. And I told him, I said, listen, this church family will be there for you, regardless of what you face. That is what this Bible teaches. Read the book of Acts. It says these groups of people came together in the name of Jesus. And they had issues and they had problems. And the book of Acts says, and what they did is this family who loved each other so much, some of them sold what they had to take care of those that had nothing. There was nobody there that had too much and nobody there that had too little. It's about a family embracing one another when times get tough. That is what a church family is all about. That's why we're called to meet. And then we come and we meet because we need to lift each other up when things get hard. That is what this church, that's what I want this family to be. And it has been that way. We just need to expand it. That's why we want to grow. Because outside those doors, there is so much suffering and you all know it. There's suffering. You have relatives that are suffering. You have neighbors that are suffering. And it's through us as disciples of Jesus that we need to reach out and say, listen, there's an answer. There's a solution. Will they all come? Absolutely not. They won't. They didn't for Jesus. But it's an amazing plan for us to share the gospel with others. That is the biggest thing I see that the church is missing today. Is religion has become such an internal, personal thing. An internal, personal thing that we are not doing what Jesus, the very last command He gave to His disciples before He ascended into heaven. And I'll read that to you now. This is from the book of Matthew. And Jesus came and spoke to His disciples, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I've commanded you. And Jesus, basically, He taught people how to love and take care of one another. Heal one another. Be there for one another. And He says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That is a purpose. 125 people, loving one another, being together. A choir, at least 20 members strong, powerful music. Then you come here, we get recharged, we lift one another up. There's so much we can do together. So I hope you can feel the dream I have here. That is true church. It's not really about coming and listening to me. It's really about getting here and loving the people that are around it. For some reason, I will tell you, for some reason, God has brought you to this place. Whether you know it or not, God is... He is the one that puts it in people and says, you know, I'm going to try that. I'm going to come to that. We have a young couple down here that will be married soon, I think, at this place, right? Or where? Is there outside somewhere? Outside somewhere? You better let me know or I might show up here. I'm going, I don't know, I was supposed to marry somebody here tonight, but they're not here. But I will tell you this, as a young couple, marriage is one of the biggest blessings you can have, and it can be one of the biggest curses you can go through. I mean, it's not always easy. How many people have been married for a few years? Would you agree with that? But what happens is, if you don't have an outer power to come into your life and guide you through hard spots, it can just blow up. They can just blow up. As much as you love each other today, as much. The thing about it is, I told Brett and Savannah before little Cooper came, I said, when she was still pregnant sitting here in the pew, I said, you know, you still don't know what this love is going to be. It's not until Cooper came in and became part of your family, and now you would die for that child. Right? There's no love like that. There's no love like that. The love that you have right now as a young couple before you're married, it's powerful. But you have no idea yet the process of aging love, maturing love. It changes. It changes. And if you don't have a power outside of what any of us here could offer, and that power is the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to tell you, I think the odds are against you. And those of you that walk with God long enough can probably answer that. Well, all you got to do is look around. I mean, at the divorce rate and stuff. True Christianity. Forget about religion. Forget about church. True Christianity is your relationship with God the Father and having the Holy Spirit in you. It's a direct relationship. It's not religion. Religion will mess you up, I'll guarantee you. I was messed up by religion a long time. And it wasn't until I said, the heck with religion, said, you know what, I'm just going to start reading this book and try to figure it out myself. I have a long way to figuring it out yet, but I've come a long way from what a lot of the stuff I was taught. That's what I encourage you all to do. Let's have a prayer. You girls are going to have a closing song for us. And God, my prayer here is for every heart right now in this place that goes, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Is this just another place of religion? Or is it someplace special? God, I just ask that your Holy Spirit comes to them and you can answer that question. You know that we're seeking to bring hurting people that want to help into this family. I turn that over to you. And I know I'm seeing it work. And I'm blessed by that. But Father, today, with all the hearts here, all the hearts, let them feel your power in the presence of your Spirit. Let there be a healing inside. Let there be you can't really describe the peace, God's peace. Let them feel that peace come over them as we sing this last song. And bless them and their family and give them a testimony. And let them have a plan for their garden, for their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.